Exodus chapter 20. Now, I love my mama. I don't know what you call your mother, but I call mine mama. And y'all keep praying for her. She's getting better. She had that urinary tract infection. But I tell people how old my mama is. They say, 99? What a blessing. I say, yes, a blessing. And I guess she's the Lord's leaving her here because I never had the daddy part, so I still need my mama, okay? And I love my mama. Don't mess with my mama. I'll tell you right now, you'll be in a world of trouble. I go in there and straighten them out all the time. And I hope you love your mama. You ought to love your mama. Now, we used to give away gifts and recognize mothers and all this stuff, but it doesn't work like it used to, because motherhood used to be something people were proud of, and not everybody's proud of it anymore. So we quit that away, but I'm not going to quit preaching to you, okay? Exodus chapter 20. I want to help you today. You know, it's never been my goal to see most people in town saved. Never has. Never has. It's never been my goal to have the biggest church in town. Never has. Never has. It's always been my goal to help somebody. Amen. Just want to help somebody. Whew. Boy, I remember growing up, I wish some preacher would come around my house. I wish some Christian would have come around and talked to my mama. Amen? And so I might get a little emotional today. But hang in there, okay? If you need to go to the bathroom, go. You ain't going to disturb me. Of course, I've been preaching for 30 years. I ain't never had to quit preaching and go to the bathroom in the middle of my sermon, so I don't know why anybody else would. If the kids got to go, you pick them up and take them, okay? I want to be a little serious. I'm not going to joke much. Brother Tony has an older member. She's 92. And she sent me, Tony Green, one from Knoxville Baptist Tabernacle, and she sent me a letter a while back with a beautiful card, and she said, "We listen to you on the internet, and we love you." And said, I talked to Brother Tony about it. He came to our men's meeting, and he said, "You want to know one of the reasons she loves you?" She said, "He talks about his mama. He loves his mama." And so on top of that, sometimes he's funny. But today, there won't be much funny today, okay? I won't get serious for just a little while. Exodus chapter 20, a lot of you already know it. I didn't know this verse till I was 20, probably 24. Exodus chapter 20, look at it with me in verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, he could have stopped there if he wanted to and been right. But then he says, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor. Now, that's so important. He put it right above, thou shalt not kill. That's how important that is. Honor thy father. Are you listening, young people? And thy mother, and your days will be long on the land that he has given you. That's a commandment with a promise. Now, the other commandments don't have that. That's a commandment with a promise. You honor your father and mother. You treat them right. You respect them. You obey them. And you know what you'll do? You'll live longer. You'll live longer. Amen. Now, the Lord didn't make that holiday, Mother's Day. We did. And we made Father's Day. But it's obedient to the Word of God. It's obedient to the Word of God. To take a day and just honor your mother. Just honor. Just love her. Tell her how much you respect her. How much you, and as you get older, you'll tell her as you look back, how much now you understand that she really loved you. It wasn't punishment. It was love for what she, a lot of things she had to do. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says this, writing to Timothy. He said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." He said, "Timothy, when I look at you and I see that abundant faith," he says this, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." And then in chapter 3, verse 15, he says this, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now, in the Bible, there are mentioned three kinds of mothers. And we're not turning to them, but I'm going to touch on for just a few moments. There's three kinds of mothers in the Bible. Now, we're talking about right kinds of mothers, okay? The Bible doesn't say much about wrong kinds of mothers, but it says a whole lot about right kinds of mothers. And you'll find out if you read the Bible, it's not just do's and don'ts. There's a whole lot of things in there about good people and doing good things and things like this. But in Exodus chapter 2, most of you will remember this. Moses' mother, when he found out that that he was going to be killed by Pharaoh, put him in a basket. And she protected him. One of the greatest things of a mother is she is a protective mother. Now, I don't know how many of you have been around chickens. Some of you's country folks and you ain't never been around chickens. And some of you's rednecks that's too hungry. You'd eat them if you had them, so you've never been around them. But a chicken is very protective of her little bitties. You mess with the bitty, you got mama. She's going, hey, I've had her fly up on my head and peck me. She's very protective. And as a mother, that ought to be your number one job ought to be God's giving you some children. You ought to protect those children. Come on, ladies. And it starts in the womb, not after they're born. I mean, you go to the doctor and that doctor says, well, you're expecting. Brother Jason Coley, our pastor that founded Independent Bible Baptist, sent us out to start this church. He's in heaven now. But he wouldn't use the word pregnant. He was an old, old country boy. He wouldn't use the word pregnant. He said, that sounds he said, those that are in the motherly way, that's the way he would say it. Those that are in the motherly way, you protected them before they were ever born. You went to the doctor and the doctor said, now here's the vitamins you're going to have to take. And by the way, my wife took those. They stink. Literally, they stink. All the vitamins stink. And here's what you can drink. Here's what you can't drink. Here's what you can eat and you can't eat. And you would deny yourself and your personal desires and you would sacrifice all of that to have a healthy baby when it was born. Nowadays, the baby gets in the way and they say, you're pregnant, and they say, get rid of it. Don't need that. I'm having too much fun right now. But a real mother protects physically, morally, emotionally, spiritually. Sometimes my wife would look at me and say, don't talk to them like that. I said, well, they need to hear it. And she'd say, they're just a kid. You're a grown man. I'd have to back up, you know. But as a mother, you were physically protected of that little baby. You would do anything. Nobody would mess with your baby. They'd be in big trouble. Amen. 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 I don't see how one would let her children be abused. Maybe they don't know any better. But I tell you what, my mom, if you'd have messed with me like that, she'd have took a brick on your head or something, you know. Morally, you ought to protect your children morally. And by that I mean you ought to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. You ought to keep them away from corruptible things, spiritually, morally corruptible things. Our world's so messed up, topsy-turvy, turned upside down. Girls can join the Boy Scouts now. Well, let me tell you something. There ain't no boy who wants your girl in their troop. They scratch, they spit, they burp, they do all kinds of things boys do, and a girl ain't going to do nothing but ruin the fun. Amen? And most girls, unless mom and dad's confused her, she knows she's a girl and you put her in that troop, she'd have them cleaning, she'd have them ironing, she'd have them sweeping. It wouldn't even be Boy Scout no more, it'd be chain gang. Amen? Come on, fellas, back me up here. So a mama protects her little chicks. And she protects them physically and morally. And listen, she protects them emotionally. Now, I don't have a problem with disciplining children. There's times you ought to whip your children. The Bible says that. And you ought not spare them for their crying because they're lying when they're crying. Amen. It really don't hurt that bad. They're just lying, amen. But to abuse a child and beat them till they bleed or burn them or put them in hot water and or all this stuff they're doing now, you're not a mother. You're a devil. You're not a mother. You don't even know what motherhood is if you do such things. And I'm sure there's nobody in this room, but we're live on Facebook, and I hope somebody heard that. Amen. And then spiritually, you'll protect your children. You'll protect them spiritually. Even lost women that don't know Christ, doesn't know spiritual things like they ought to, they ought to try to protect them from spiritual things that would hurt them. And there are some spiritual things that are not Christian spirit. They're of the devil. The music you listen to. Now, I ain't never been a country music fan. Mama played Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn every day. I had to get up and go to school, and I hated going to school. And that music identified. And plus, you put a child under that kind of, whoo, and then he's got to go to school, you know, and and have a good attitude. Hello, Walt. Hello, hello, hello. Somebody's sleeping with somebody. Somebody drinking something, you know. And then I had to go to school and be good. But I'm going to tell you something. They're the hardest commercial on now. And it's supposed to be country music. And they rap. Now, if country music could be messed up any more than it already was, make it with a rap beat. I wouldn't let my kids listen to that. You ask my kids, they didn't listen to that kind of junk in my house. I don't know what they did when they was out somewhere else, but they didn't listen to it in my house. Hey, mother, that's your job. And no, the kids will not like it. They're little sinners. They don't know what they're supposed to like. That's why God gave them mothers. Amen?
Yes, sir.
I better go on. I can tell I stepped on a few toes there, but in 1 Samuel, and don't turn down, I'm doing this introduction. 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2. Samuel, who later became the great prophet of God, one of the greatest that was ever known to the children of Israel. Samuel's mother prayed for a child, and God gave her a little boy. And God said, if you'll give me a little boy, I'll give him back to you, and he'll serve you all the days of his life. And she gave Samuel to the priest to raise after he got so old, and she weaned him, you know, and got him on his feet and going. And he lived in the temple of God. And one day God himself spoke to that little boy, probably 10 or 12 years old, and he called him, and Samuel thought the preacher was calling him. He got up and went there, and the preacher said, boy, I ain't called you. Go back to bed. And that happened three times. And finally Samuel answered the call and said, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And that little boy that mama prayed for to be born, a boy baby, she raised him right while she had him. She gave him to God, and God used him to be one of the greatest prophets ever walked planet Earth. Did. Now, so there are supportive mothers. She didn't go down there and say, you can't have my boy preacher. I don't want my boy to be a preacher. And there's women that don't want their sons to grow up to be a preacher. I mean the right kind of preacher. Because you're not going to get rich. You're not going to own a lot of land. Are y'all listening to me? It's a hard life being a preacher and a pastor. It's a hard life. You don't have a lot of friends. Sometimes your own family misunderstands you. Nobody can understand you sometimes. But she raised that boy, and she supported him just to give him to God. Now, I know some mothers never think like that, and then their children turn out bad, and they bring him down to the house of God for the preacher to straighten out. And the preacher can't do it. Too late. So there are supportive mothers, and if this little boy grows up and says, I want to be a preacher, she says, amen, son, you're going to be the best preacher that's ever been. And I'm going to help you, and I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to be there. If he says, I want to be an automobile mechanic, mama say, you'll be the best automobile mechanic in this town, best one they've ever seen. If he won't sit down and mess with them stupid computers and program things like that, which most of us have no idea what that means, mama, look at him and say, you're a smart boy. You can do it. I'm going to help you do that. That's a supportive mother. When I was growing up, people in my circles, people, you say, well, I want to be an airplane pilot. They'd say, boy, are you stupid? You can't do nothing like that. You ignorant old redneck, how you ever going to be an airplane pilot? Well, I won't be a doctor or anything. But listen, a real mother will support her children. If her daughter wants to be an airplane pilot, she'll say, "You can do it, baby, I'll help you." Are y'all still with me? The worst mother in town is someone that looks at their children and belittles them and berates them and cusses them and fusses all the time at them. And only God can rescue that child when they have a mother like that. Some of y'all came out of homes like that. You'll be a protective mother. You'll be a supportive mother. And then there's another one. Now, this is my introduction. I'm going to get to the sermon in a minute. Somebody said, "Uh-oh." Brother Billy said, "I understand." In 2 Timothy's scripture we just read, his mother was an instructive mother. He said, "I understand that the faith that's in you came from your grandma and it came from your mama." How can a mother expect for their children to turn out being spiritual if they are not instructing that child in the way they should go? I love my mama, but my mama didn't get saved till I was a teenager. And she had two of us left there at the house, my younger brother, a year younger than me, and everybody in town knew we was holy terrors. And my mama got saved, and she quit drinking, and she quit running around with men. And it was a lot better at home. It was a lot better at home. But we were so rebellious by then, she couldn't make us do anything. Besides that, we was bigger than her. She ain't never weighed over 100 pounds, I don't think. And she couldn't get us to go to church. And she couldn't teach us. It was too late. God had to intervene in our lives. Me, when I was 23 years old, God had to intervene and save me and change me because mama, and God bless my mama, I love her, don't mess with her, but she'd missed her opportunity in those early days when she was not dedicated or not saved, see. And just hope we turn out all right. Let me tell you something. The Bible says a child left unto himself will not turn out all right, ever. Unless God himself intervenes and miraculously changes that person's heart. He said, "Timothy, I knew your grandma. She had great faith. Timothy, I see your mama in you. Great faith. If you're going to be a mother, you need to instruct your children. Do not think that they're going to turn out right if you do not instruct them. They're children. They don't know what to do. And you let them stumble through this world. And you let them just end up however they end up. And I'll guarantee you, you'll be sorry and it'll break your heart when you get older. They'll come back and break your heart." Y'all still with me? But today, I want to talk to everybody, but especially women all together, because I know some of you women don't have children. And I know some of you have had divorces and things like that, and family breakups and things like that. And I know some of you men, you wasn't raised right, just like I wasn't raised right. And just for a couple minutes, I got four little points right here. I want to show you how any Christian, but especially women, can change the world. Women, I know that we men walk around and, "Give me something to eat. You know, I worked hard. I pushed a rock up a hill all day." Ain't that the way we do? "I've been sweating all day. You've been out here at the house doing nothing, just playing with the kids." But I know better. It's hard work raising children. And it's hard work being a woman, a godly woman, in the wicked world that we're in today. Amen. Womanhood has been destroyed. And godly womanhood is mocked and made fun of. But women are, whether you know it or not, they're the most powerful people on planet Earth. Because, see, women shape and mold the next generation. Those little children. Amen? All right. Now I got amen off of that one. Amen. Thank you, brother. Stay right there. You need to be here every time. Listen. Now, look. I want you to notice this. If to live forever, we have to do what the Bible says. Mary, the mother of Jesus, standing there at the cross. Listen to me. Jesus, about to give up the ghost, took time to take care of his mama. He stopped dying for just a moment, right before he said, "I thirst," right before he said, "It is finished." And he looked at the disciple and he said, "Mary, mother, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother." He gave his mama to one of the disciples before he died. It means a lot. But listen, one day at the wedding of Cana, listen to this. One day at the wedding of Cana, and all of you know the story, he turned the water into wine, and it wasn't alcoholic wine, by the way. When they got through it, they said he saved the best for last. That wouldn't have been fermented. That would have been fresh grape juice. But anyway, Jesus shows up at the wedding. He's not done a whole lot yet. Nobody knows very much about him. And he shows up at the wedding, and Mary says, "They're out of wine, Jesus." And he says, "What have I got to do with that?" And so she goes to the servants, and this is what she said. I wrote down to make sure I get it right. This is what she said. She said in John chapter 2, verse 5, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Undoubtedly, he had worked miracles, and she'd seen them that are not recorded. Not everything he did is recorded. All the books in the world couldn't have everything he recorded. And undoubtedly, he'd done something that she'd seen it as growing up, or maybe several things that were miraculous. And she knew, of course, that God was in him. He was God in the flesh. She knew that. And so she looked at those servants, knowing that the wedding marriage feast is about to be broken up if somebody don't do anything. And she said, "Now whatever he tells you to do, you do it." Now, I think that's good preaching. I think that'll work for mama. I think it'll work for daddy. I think it'll work for son. I think it'll work for daughter. I think it'll work if you know your daddy, you don't know your daddy. I think if you'll just do what Jesus said, you'll succeed. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen. There ain't no doubt about it. Now, mothers, for just a second. You must be saved. Jesus said so. You must be born again. Ladies, you must be saved. You must be born again. Heaven, now listen to this, and I've heard this at funerals, people claim mama went to heaven. Heaven is not a reward for being a good mother.
Amen.
Or being a good lady. Heaven is a reward for those that put their faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, you can be a good mother and not go to heaven. Help me here.
Yes, sir. That's it.
You can be a bad mother and still go to heaven. By placing your faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone, not you, not what you do. But to be a saved mother and be a good mother is as rare as hen's teeth. You ever seen hen's teeth? Hard to find. And there's a lot of good mothers who are not saved. They never would let that. Look, they're protective, they're spiritual. They're instructive, but they've never received Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, when they leave this earth, their family's going to look back on their life and they're going to say, "We had the best mother in the world," but the sad thing about it is they're never going to see her again. And I hope you are a good mother, but that won't get you to heaven. You say, "Well, I failed as a mother. I didn't get saved till later in life, and I failed as a mother." Well, if you'll get born again and you start getting right and treating your children right, even though they're already grown, look, you'll still be a blessing. And they'll still praise you. And look, if you finish well, loving the Lord and living right, your children will look back on it and say, "She started off bad, but she ended up real good." Amen? A lot of women give up on that. They're bad in their life. They mess up, whatever. And then later on they get saved and they think that they have been defeated. You're not defeated till you're gone. As long as there's breath, there's hope. You can fix your family. Come on. Mother, you must lead your home to do right. Children love their mothers naturally, and they will follow their mothers naturally. We followed my mama. We didn't know what we was doing was wrong. We just sat in the back seat while she did what she did, you know. We lived with her while she did. And some of you had the same experiences. But you know, after she got saved, we did notice that she was different. And she didn't cuss us anymore. She didn't cuss anymore. She didn't drink anymore. Didn't smoke anymore. That whole crowd, it wasn't there anymore. Everything was different. There was peace. There was peace. And we followed her. We moved probably 6 times in my life when we was little. 5 or 6, I can't remember. I never looked at Mama and said, I ain't going. I didn't care where we lived, as long as I lived with my mama. Amen. Come on, help me, ladies. We didn't even question it. We never said, why? We said, how am I going to live that way? No, we just went. Was it always good? No, but we didn't know any difference. A child is going to naturally follow their mother. Now, let me ask you this. Where are you leading them? Well, they'll figure it out. They won't figure it out until it's too late. Listen, ladies who have never birthed a child can still be an example to children whose mothers aren't a godly example. Now, I don't know if you've noticed or not. Most of you are blessed. Most of you is blessed. You don't know how some people live. And you're better off not knowing it. And your children's better off not knowing it. But look, if you've never had children, maybe you've widowed, or maybe you never got married or never will get married, or whatever the case may be. Maybe it's not God's will for you to have children. You can still be an example to children that don't have a good mother or don't have a mother. Tony Green had a little boy, praise the Lord. He had this little boy. He was he's 14, but he's not but that tall. His mother was a drug addict. He's a little skinny thing, and he's wide open. He can't be still. And you can't hardly understand what he says. He can't talk plain. And he was wanting to eat, and I thought Tony was being mean to him, and he said, you can't eat now. We're going to bed. And so after a little while, I asked Tony, I said, why are you so hard on that boy? He said, you don't understand. His mother was a drug addict. He was born way premature. He had brain damage. He had bodily damage. His insides were messed up. They had to operate on him and take out almost all of his upper intestines. So when he eats, it's not 15, 30 minutes later, he's got to go to the bathroom. And the reason he's so little is because his body does not get the nourishment it needs because it goes through him so fast. And he said his mama didn't want him, and she's a drug addict, and she was about to send him off. And he said, I went to her, I begged her, don't send that boy to a state school. Let me have him. And she just gave him to him. Don't know who his daddy is. And then he had another boy with him, and he was 16. He was a big old stout, bravado type guy. A little bit smart mouth, but as respectable as he knew how to be. And for a teenager, I guess that's okay. You know, smart mouth. Big part, but I could tell he respected me. And I said, Tony, who is that? He said, well, you're not going to believe this. That boy's mama works for the county prison system. She's a prison guard. Said she was a drug addict when he was born, and she wasn't married, and his father don't even know where he's at. And said so for years until he got to be 12, 13 years old, she lived terrible. And then she got saved and went back to school and got her college degree, and now she's working for the county in the police department. But she married a detective in the police department, and this boy's hard to handle. And that detective said, if the boy comes with the package, I don't want the package. And she said, he said that she came to him one day and said, look, I can't handle this boy anymore. He's 16. He's bigger than me. He won't do what I say. I can't control him. And Tony said she was really being over-controlling. But I'm going to give him to the state. And he said, don't give him to the state. Give him to me. But the boys were good. I mean, they're mischievous and, you know. But I looked at that and I thought, boy, what a picture of a messed up motherhood. But these boys see something in Tony's wife they never saw in their mama. And they see something in the ladies at church that they never saw in their mama's friends. And it's affected their lives. Both of them's gotten saved. Both of them love the Lord. But ladies, whether they're your children or not, they're going to follow somebody. They're going to follow somebody. You want to know why so many abortions are committed in America right now? Because somebody didn't lead their daughter in the right direction. I know there's cases of rebellion. I understand that. I understand that. But in the average case, nobody's told these young ladies the honor of motherhood. My granddaughter's sitting there, my older granddaughter right here somewhere. What'd you do, run her off? She's having my wife. You know that. Amen. I got grandkids, but especially my granddaughters. I look at them and I picture a wonderful woman one day. A beautiful, God-loving, Christ-serving woman. Now, I know they can be that way because they got mothers that grew up and was taught these things. But there's some young ladies don't have that home and that teaching. And they go to these places, and these doctors, in order to make money, will take that baby. Belinda runs around with a group. I'm really kind of scared of them, a bunch of women. And they go up there and they sing and witness and all that stuff, you know. But you know, isn't it a shame that that even has to be done?
Amen.
Look, you don't have to be that girl's mama to influence her. Come on. You don't have to be that girl's aunt to influence her. You can just be a godly woman that loves people and serves Christ, and these young ladies will notice you, and you can take them under your wing. I'm telling you, womanhood can change the world quicker than manhood or war can. You know, in the Middle East, listen to this, in the Middle East, we've been fighting for what, 17 years now? And in Afghanistan, 15 years, 17 years, been fighting there, fighting all over the Middle East, now in Africa, trying to kill terrorism and all that stuff. But you know, go read behind the scenes things that's going on in those places, and do you know what's really changing those people? There are Christians going in there, in the military and out of the military, and they're being good witnesses, and they're being good examples, and people are getting saved, they're getting baptized. And then these big old brawny men and they carrying these big guns walk into a neighborhood and everybody fears them, and some of them's Christians. They break out a big old bag of candy and start giving it out to these little old children, say, God loves you, He wants to save you. It'll change that whole neighborhood, that whole village. The love of Christ through those people, it's changing those places. You think Korea, North Korea opened up because the president tweeted something? No, sir. North Korea has opened up because in North Korea there have been missionaries sneaking in and smuggling in, and in people's homes they're having little churches all over that country. There's lots of Christians being born again there in North Korea. South Korea, South Korea's got churches more than we do now. Now it's happening in China. There's a big revival going on in China. People getting saved left and right in China. Why? Because somebody loved people enough to make a difference and not be ashamed of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now you don't have to be a mother to do that. But it sure is motherly loving people, isn't it? Did you know that by example, you can teach a class. You don't have to be a mother. You can be a mother to that Sunday school class. You can take somebody under your wing, some young girl or young lady in the church having it hard, and take some food over there and love them and make yourself available to them, give your telephone number to them, and you can make a difference in that little girl, young lady's life. The Mormons know it. The Jehovah's Witnesses know it. The cults know it. I'll never forget, when I was growing up, Mama wasn't saved. There never was a preacher or a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a church member ever knock on our door. Never. Nobody ever invited us to church. It was white trash. But mighty funny, the Mormons came by one day and got in the house. I remember it showed us their little flip chart. I didn't know any difference. Mama didn't either. We thought they were Christians. That impressed us. Mighty funny, the Jehovah's Witness came by one day and they were dressed nice and they talked nice and they had a Bible in their arm and we let them in the house. We thought they was Christians. And of course nothing came out of it because they have no life-changing message. But I look back on it, Sister Lisa, and I wonder, wasn't there some woman somewhere that saw my mama and all those children and thought, I need to do something? Wasn't there somebody's aunt? Wasn't there somebody's sister? Maybe they didn't have children. But they looked at it and said, boy, what a mess. I can go in there and help them. The only way my mama got saved was she had to go to church to get saved. The only way I got saved, I had to go to church to get saved. But wouldn't it have been a whole lot easier if they'd have come by when I was 10? Wouldn't it have been a whole lot easier if some woman that claimed to be a Christian would have saw my mom and come over and said, look, I see you having a hard time. Let me help you. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you. I'm just telling you, you influence people, whether you believe it or not, and whether you got children or not. You can help people. You can help children. Men. You're supposed to lead your house. Is that the way you lead them? I know Mother's Day is supposed to be all about roses. I know it's supposed to be all about carnations or whatever they give away. But I'm telling you, as a woman, you can change the world around you. And the world has changed one person at a time. It used to be they had the Ladies Missionary Society. The ladies didn't get together to eat. They got together to get food and take to somebody. They used to have men's brotherhood. The men didn't get together to eat. They got together to find out who they could help. And they'd go put a roof on a house or a porch on somebody's house or fix somebody's car. Now we just crowded up in the building and we keep us all ourselves together while the world dies and goes to hell all around us. And we look at the world and wonder why it's in such a mess. It's because Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, and the salt loses its savor. It ain't no good. You just cast it out. It's no good. In other words, if you had salt you put on food and it didn't make a difference to the taste, you'd throw it away. And the church is supposed to make a difference in this world, and it used to. It used to. I'm glad I went to Eastside Baptist Church one day. I'm glad my wife's best friend got saved, Patty, got saved. Of all people, you never would have thought she'd have gotten saved. And come walking up the sidewalk that day, cleaned up and smiling. And she said, I want to invite y'all to church. I've been going to church. I said, we don't do church. She said, please come to church with me one time. Just come one time. And I'm glad she aggravated me till I got up and went to church. She aggravated my wife till she came too. If it hadn't been for that, these wouldn't be sitting up here. Ladies, you just don't know. Stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. I'm not just talking to mothers either. I'm talking about all women. You know why my daughters went to school to learn to be teachers? They wanted to make a difference. We used to ride around on them old buses, push them, pump them, prime them, pray them, keep them going. We'd ride around those buses full of little old kids, and they'd see the way those kids lived, and it gave them a burden to help people like that. And I'd brag on them, but I'd probably forget something y'all do, and I wouldn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But every one of them, hey, look, every one of them's affected people's lives. You don't know why? Because my wife got saved, and she sacrificed, and she did without. And she did what she had to do to raise her children the right way. And we didn't even always know what the right way was. But she did the best she could. And look, they honor her. That old man didn't have a whole lot to do with it, you know. I just jump in there every once in a while. But ladies, you just don't know the power you have. You are the heart of that home. And you are the spirit of that home. And however goes that heart and that spirit goes that home. Please get your heart right. And that'll make your spirit right. Now, men, I'm not going to quit. I know it's 5 after. But you said it takes longer than that to preach. He's the same one that left one Sunday and said, "Preacher, that was a good series of messages you preached today." Now he knows the difference. Amen. He said you can't clear your throat in 15 minutes. Fellas, you listen to me. You can make or break a woman. You can make or break a woman. Now you want your woman to be a godly woman and be a loving, gentle, kind, long-suffering, loves her children, loves you, does a work for God. God says you're the head of that family. And the head, look, watch my hand. You know who? What? Do you know how that works? My head said, "Move, hand." See that foot? Never could dance, but I can move it. I grew up in Lancaster. It's against the law to dance. My head said, "Move, foot." Now, fellas, you listen to me. You can be the boss or you can be the head. You can lead your wife, who will raise your children, or if you don't have children, will raise other people's children. Or you can push her. Leading is the way you do it. You do what you're supposed to do. And you, hey, listen, they'll follow you. Now, if you're not saved, why do you think your wife ought to be saved and raise your children and get saved? Amen. Hey, if you don't live like a Christian, you claim to be saved, why do you think your wife and your children would live any different than you? I knock on doors, and a man will come to the door, and I'll give him a little brochure, and I'll say, "I'm from Cornerstone Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Ron Roddy. Want to invite you to church?" Here's what most men say: "Oh, my wife takes care of those things." And he'll start leaving. I said, "I'm not here to see your wife. I'm here to see you. Ain't you the head of this house?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "Okay, then you're the responsible one. You're the guy I want to talk to. You talk to your wife. I'm going to talk to you." Now, fellas, we got to help our ladies. We got to help our daughters. We got to help our grandchildren. And we got to encourage them. And we got to love them. And we got to be patient. And we got to be kind. If you want a fist fight, go join some kind of club. You don't do that at home. If you want to scream and holler and fuss, get up with some of your buddies and make a deal. We ain't going to hit each other. We're just going to holler at each other. Ain't that crazy? But your house ain't where you do it. And I know we've all been guilty. But today, I want to honor women. I honor you. I'm the man. I pushed the rock up the hill. It's getting harder, though. I'm the man. I know I talk loud and sometimes I say things that other people wouldn't say, especially a woman, because, well, you're going to hurt their feelings. Well, I'm a man. I don't always know what feelings are. But I tell you what I can do. I can say, "Wife, I'm proud of you." I told her this morning, I said, "You're the best mother I've ever known. My wife." Now, she ain't my mother. Sometimes she acts like it. And I tell my daughters, I say, "You're the best women. You're the best women I know. Hey, I'm all for you. I'm not against you. But if you're going to be the very best,
that's right,
you're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And the last part of that verse says, "And then thy house." Let me tell you something. Ladies, if you'll get right with God, thoroughly right with God, and get saved by the grace of God, the rest of the house will follow you. I don't really like chicken. I really hate white meat on the chicken. Yesterday I ate white meat. You know why? My wife put it on the plate. And this is what she said: "I know you don't like white meat." And I followed her. I ate white meat breast. To me, breast is like eating dry dust. I want something greasy, amen? But your husband can't make that decision. Your wife can't make that decision. Children, your parents can't make that decision. Your grandparents can't make that. You can love them and be completely wrong, or they can be completely wrong, but you're going to have to be born again.
Amen.
I hope you're saved today. You'll make a good mother if you are. You'll make a good woman if you are. Let's stand. Father,